Amen. Matthew chapter 24 this morning. Fascinating chapter in Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a wonderful time of worship, a time of fellowship. Now we pray for an anointed time of Bible study. Lord, that you would speak to us through your word this morning. Give us insight. Open our eyes. Thanks for the warnings that you give us. Pray, Lord, that we would be solid men and women of faith. Mature. Ministers, witnesses, servants. Each one of us, Lord, that we would be that as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. A tourist driving through West Texas stopped at a gas station and observed a piece of rope dangling from a sign labeled Weather Forecaster. How can you possibly tell the weather with a piece of rope? He asked the attendant. The attendant said, "It's simple, Sonny. When the rope swings back and forth, it's windy. When it's wet, it's raining. When it's frozen stiff, it's snowing. When it's gone, tornado." I'm glad we have more sophisticated means to forecast the weather, because I like a little more advanced warning than that. Here on Sunday mornings, we are doing some prophetic forecasting. We are discerning the times in which we live. We're getting a little advanced warning as to what's coming down the pike as far as human history. And remember, here in Matthew 24, Jesus is asked two very interesting questions by his disciples as they're sitting on the Mount of Olives overlooking the city of Jerusalem. They say, "Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of that day when you reveal yourself in glory?" And then they ask, "Jesus, what will be the sign of the end of the world?" Great questions. Jesus answers those questions here in Matthew chapter 24. Here we have the picture that Jesus gives of what life on this planet will look like immediately preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ. Very, very good picture, specific details. He actually gives a number of signs in chapter 24, and I want to look at them one by one. I want to look at them very closely over the next several weeks. Let's look at the very first sign this morning. Begin reading with me in verse 3. It says, "Now as he," Jesus, "sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" So according to Jesus Christ, the last days will be characterized by massive deception. Many, many people in the last days on this planet will be deceived. Not just a few oddballs. Many, Jesus said. In fact, I would say the majority of people worldwide in the last days will be deceived. Deception, that's a word that we use pretty loosely. But I want you to consider that word. It's actually a very scary word, isn't it? The person who is deceived is in a very dangerous position. Think about it. The person who is deceived believes something to be absolutely true when in fact it's not true. So the person who is deceived believes something, acts upon that belief, navigates through life based on that belief, makes decisions based on that belief, builds their life upon the foundation of that belief, and yet that belief is a lie. It's a falsehood. The foundation is sand. Eventually the life is going to crumble. And what's scary is the person who is deceived doesn't even realize that they're deceived. They think they're right. Hence, very, very dangerous place to be. Let's say you met somebody who was convinced in their mind that gravity was a farce. I don't believe in gravity. I don't believe it's true, this person says. And so this person is going to climb to the top of a building and jump off to prove that gravity isn't real. And they're deceived. They think that. Of course, we're down at the bottom shouting, don't jump. Gravity's real. Gravity's true. But they're deceived in their mind. They believe they're right. They jump and it's over for them, isn't it? The person who is deceived is in a position like that. And nowhere is deception more dangerous than when it comes to spiritual matters. Spiritual truth. The person who is deceived spiritually is in big trouble in this life and in the next life. So think of it. That's a scary word. Deception. People being deceived. Let me give you an example of a spiritual deception. You know, there are many people on this planet who are deceived. They believe that this life is all there is. They believe that death ends it all. They believe annihilation at death. They believe that when you die, you cease to exist. It's all over. So many, many people believe that this life is all there is. And they act upon that belief. They live based on that belief. They embody that proverb that says, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you die. And these people live to get every single thing that they can possibly get out of this world in this life. As much power, as much money, as much pleasure. Grab all the gusto that you can get right here and now. Because this life is it. They are deceived. The Bible teaches something much differently, doesn't it? The Bible teaches that this life is very short. It's temporary. The Bible teaches that this life is a pilgrimage. This life is proving ground for the next life. The Bible teaches that you should see your bodies in this life as a tent that you just occupy for a little bit. The Bible teaches that life does go on. The Bible teaches that there are two destinations in eternity. There is heaven and there is hell. The Bible teaches that if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, then you'll be forgiven of your sins. You'll be born again. You will go to heaven when you die. The Bible teaches that if you reject Jesus Christ, you will go into an eternity apart from Christ. And the Bible uses graphic details and pictures of what that place will be like. No, the Bible teaches that you must be ready for the next life. You must be prepared. This life isn't all there is. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus said in Matthew 16, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Think of it. Jesus said, if you were to gain the entire world, if you became the king or queen of the world and you had all of the empires, but lost your own soul, what a drag for you. No. Bible teaches that life does go on. Now I want you to imagine, for the people who believe that this life is it, imagine the shock and horror they will experience the moment they die. The moment they take their last breath, they will remember, they will become aware of the fact that they lived their whole life on a lie. They will have wasted their whole life. Oh, my friends, to be deceived is to be in a very dangerous place. Don't be deceived like that. Don't be somebody who's going to be shocked when you die. Be ready. Amen? If you're going to be ready for the next life, you must first put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, who died on the cross for your sins. Get saved. And then you know what? Live for Jesus. Use this life to serve Him. Send treasures ahead. My grandfather on my mom's side, he's in heaven now. But he told us often of this vivid dream that he had one night when he was in his 40s. He dreamed that he was standing at the gates of heaven and that the gates were starting to shut. And he was one of those who just squeaked by as the gate shut. And in his dream, he was filled with anxiety, thinking he may not make it, but he just squeezed in. I'll tell you what, he woke up and he started serving Christ like never before. Do you want to just barely make it in, or do you want a homecoming? Do you believe in the next life? If you're living only for this life, you're deceived. Spiritual deception. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that there is an enemy of the human race. A fallen angel, originally named Lucifer, whom we know as Satan, whom we know as the devil. And you know what his specialty is? Deception. He's a master deceiver. He's been very successful. He's been deceiving people since the Garden of Eden. He's got lots of years of experience. His primary objective is to get people to believe anything, anything, but the truth. His goal is to keep as many people in darkness as possible. Paul refers to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as the God of this age who blinds minds to the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, "For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." He will even transform himself into an angel of light, into something that looks good and harmless to deceive people. And he's been very effective. He's deceived many people. His methods are many. His teachings are many. You know, I believe that the theory of evolution, I don't even call it a theory, it's a lie. And I believe the deceiver is behind that teaching. It's deceived many people into becoming atheists. And you know, it's in my mind, I see the devil and his minions in some boardroom somewhere hooting and hollering over that. Can you believe we got them to believe that one? We actually got people to believe that they came from slime. Or as Frank Peretti puts it, from goo to you by way of the zoo. Think of it. They probably high-five each other. And not only that, guess what? We even got those people who believe that way to appear on planet Earth as the most educated, scholarly people on the planet. Where if you question them in any way, you're said to be dumb. Massive deception. I believe the deceiver is behind the humanistic teachings, philosophies. That the human race, we're gods. The human race, we're going to triumph. The human spirit, oh, we're going to make it. The deceiver is behind that idea that this life is all there is. And then think of all of the different religions. You know, it's a satanic lie that all roads lead to heaven, that all roads lead to God. You know, Satan is behind that thing that says you can pick a religion like you would an ice cream cone, pick your flavor. There's only one way. And he couches all of his deception in flowery language. He makes it look all nice and beautiful. I read this week that along the banks of the Amazon River, there lives a species of large, colorful spiders. When one of these creatures spreads itself out, it looks exactly like the blossom of a brilliant flower. Bees and other insects lighting upon it expect to find honey. Instead, the spider secretes a poison that drugs some of them and kills others. That's a picture of your deceiver. He promises honey and gives poison. He promises life and gives death. He promises light, knowledge, and gives darkness. He's been very busy. He deceives many. The Bible says that in the last days, many will be deceived. Now look how Jesus specifically describes this deception. He tells us how people will be deceived in the last days. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Skip ahead at verse 11. "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." So in the last days, many imposters are going to rise up on this planet. These people will come and they will speak in the name of Christ. That is, they will speak as if they are speaking for Jesus himself. That is, they will use Jesus lingo. They will use Christian vernacular. They will use Christian words without using the Christian dictionary. And they will come on the scene and they will claim to be the Christ, the Savior, the way to heaven, the way of salvation. Now, I've used the word imposter. I think that's a good word. An imposter is somebody who pretends to be something in order to deceive someone. And that's what these people will be. They will pretend to be Christ, and yet they will be agents of the devil deceiving many people. Now, the Bible uses another word to speak of these people. It's the word antichrist. Antichrists. Plural. There will be many of them on this planet in the last days. Now, we hear that word antichrist, and it makes us immediately think of a person who is against Christ. You know, when we say that somebody is anti-war, what are we saying? They're against war. These people will no doubt be against Christ. But it's more than that. In the Greek, anti means instead of or in place of. And so these people will not only be against Christ, but they will be offering themselves in place of the real Christ as substitute Christ. These people will in effect be saying, "You don't need the Jesus of the Bible. You do not need the Jesus of Orthodox Christian faith. You don't need the Jesus who is God's son, come to this planet, born of a virgin, living a sinless life, dying on the cross for the sins of the world, and rising again the third day. You don't need that Jesus. You need me. I'll be your substitute." And Jesus said that many will be deceived by them. Incredibly. Gang, let me say something as strong as I can say it. It is so very important that even as Christians, we understand and know who the real Jesus is. It is so important that you know the Jesus that is presented in the Scripture. You must believe in that Jesus. You must preach that Jesus. You can't believe in a Jesus that you make up in your own mind. You can't come up with your own personal Jesus. I think Jesus is like this, and I'll follow a Jesus who talks like this. No, you got to believe in the real Jesus. And you certainly don't want to believe somebody who claims to be a Jesus-like figure. Or believe somebody that comes and say, hey, I got some new teachings from Jesus. There's one Jesus. You must know him. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that people will come preaching another Jesus. A false Jesus. Paul says that people will come preaching another gospel. He says in Galatians chapter 1, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. We've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So it is so important that you know who the real Jesus is and you know who to how to share the real Jesus. Just because people talk about Jesus doesn't mean they're talking about the Jesus that you know. And in the last days, there'll be a lot of people claiming to be Jesus, speaking in the name of Jesus, deceiving men. So, this first sign, in the last days, there will be massive deception on this planet. Many false Christs rising to deceive many. Okay, let's do a little forecasting. Let's look at the times in which we live. Are we there? I mean, you've just read this passage and you've got eyes and ears. You can look around and you can see what's going on in our society. Where do you think we are in God's timetable? Well, you need to understand something first. It's very important to understand this. False teachers, antichrists, false prophets, imposters, those people are nothing new in church history. The church has had to battle false teachers since it was conceived. There have always been, forgive me for this mic this morning, there have been many imposters. There have been many false teachers that have always been around. I mean, they have been around. It's been a constant battle. Many Bible scholars believe that John the Apostle wrote his epistles sometime between 85 and 90 AD, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He wrote those letters way back when. In those letters, he says, little children, it's the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By which we know that this is the last hour. John wrote that in 85 AD. He also wrote in 1 John chapter 4, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. He wrote that in 85 AD. We see Paul battling false teachers in his letters, don't we? Always talking about false teachers and false prophets. And of course, Paul was very bold. He wasn't politically correct. He would say things like, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilators. So there were antichrists in the world back then. Now, if you study the early parts of church history, you will learn that the church has always been battling folks like that. You read of the special councils and synods and symposiums that the early church had, like the Council of Nicaea, where they formulated the creeds of the Christian faith. Do you realize that in those councils, many false teachers were exposed and excommunicated from the church? And throughout church history, we have seen false teachers, even in our midst. Now I ask you, how can that be a sign then of the last days? Well, listen, it's not the existence of those guys and gals that is a sign that you're living in the last days. Why? Because we've already had them. We've always had them. So what is Jesus getting at here? Well, I think there's one word that's operative. It's the word many. Look at verse 3 or 5. For many will come in my name, saying I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. So the sign that indicates that we're in last days is not the existence of Antichrist, it's the existence of many of them. It's the idea that in the last days there'll be an escalation of them. Massive deception. Worldwide. I want you to see something very important to your understanding of this chapter. Look at Matthew, verse 8 of Matthew 24 here. This is very important to see and to apply to all the signs that we're speaking of. Jesus says something. All these are the beginning of sorrows. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Literally, all these are the beginning of birth pangs. So every sign that we're going to look at in Matthew 24, false teachers, earthquakes, wars, this verse applies to it. Jesus says they are the beginning of birth pangs. He's likening these signs to childbirth, to labor. Now, I'm no expert on labor. I've never gone to labor. Whew. Guys, isn't it good to be man? But I do understand that labor works like this. When a woman goes into labor and gets close to childbirth, she begins having contractions, right? And at first, the contractions are strong. But they're not nearly as intense as they're going to get, right? And the contractions are spread further apart in time. Now, the closer and closer and closer you get to the birth of the child, what happens? The contractions become more intense and closer in frequency. So all of these signs in Matthew 24, you've seen them throughout history. But in the last days, they'll get more intense and closer in frequency. In the last days, deception will become more intense and closer in frequency. So, with that understanding, where are we? Do you think we're living in the last days? Deception will be unprecedented, like at any other time in history in the last days. Well, I want to give you a few stats. I knew it was bad out there, but I didn't know how bad it was. The Jesus of the Mormon faith is not the Jesus of the Bible. You clear on that? They preach a false Jesus. As of October 2010, there were 13,824,854 Mormons in membership worldwide. That's just what they know as their formal membership. The Jesus of the Jehovah Witnesses is not the Jesus of the Bible. Are you clear on that? Today, there are over 7 million active Witnesses of Jehovah in the world, preaching in over 235 different lands and in hundreds of different spoken and signed languages. The Jesus Christ of Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. Muslims number between 1.2 and 1.6 billion people, or roughly one-fifth of mankind. 22% of mankind on this planet is Muslim. They're spread across many different nations and ethnic groups. The Jesus Christ of the New Age movement is not the Jesus of the Bible. I don't know how many there are in the New Age. There's so many deviant things going on there, it's crazy. All the New Agers, though, I think they live in Santa Fe with Shirley MacLaine. No, I'm just kidding. Sure. Then we have all of the fringe groups. The Moonies. Sun Young Moon said, and I quote, "The Christian world must confront the fact that the Messiah's second advent took place at the end of World War II. Really? In an obscure setting. As did Jesus, he met with countless difficulties, including accusation and rejection. Bearing every cross, he, the Reverend Sun Young Moon, took responsibility for the failure of this generation of Christians, and he stands today as the historical victor with a worldwide following." Nutcase? Yeah. But he has followers. Yeah, he has followers. Many are deceived. Maharaji of Hinduism writes this on his website: "The world is a blessed place with a most special saint living in our midst who makes the atmosphere holy by his mere presence. He has come to earth to uplift fallen souls, and he lives, eats, breathes, thinks, and knows only God and God alone. A passing glance from him is enough to melt the heart and light the fire of love for God within. He's proficient in all scriptures, not because he's ever studied them, but because he's the embodiment of knowledge. Each and every pore of his being chants the holy name because he is the incarnation of devotion." Hinduism, they have their Christ-like. Several years ago, a Christian watchdog group wrote, "There have been over 1,100 religious leaders in different parts of the world in the last 50 years who have claimed to be Christ and the Savior of the world. Most of these false Christs have risen in Africa, in India, or in the Orient, and have spread into the West." The same group says America alone has more than 350 sects and cults, and most of them claim to base their doctrines on the Word of God. I love technology. I love the iPad and the iPhone and the internet and all that. But you know, with the rise of technology, it's very easy for deception to spread. Do you know that there are thousands of online cults? People being deceived in chat rooms. There are thousands of websites for every deviant philosophy that would go against the true Christian faith. It's out there. It's all over the place. If you read Paul the Apostle's predictions of the last days, he says that in the last days, there will be a huge apostasy as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. For the time will come when they, Christians, will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Folks, what is the state of the American church? I ask you. When you look at the American church, does it compare to the church that you see portrayed in the book of Acts? The same priorities. The same functions. I'm very concerned about the church in our nation. Many have said this, not just me, but a lot of churches in America have just become consumer-oriented businesses. Churches trying to build their own empires, their own power bases, trying to get anybody to come to church. And many Christians in America come to church only for what they can get out of it. It's a consumer mentality. They'll walk in and they'll say, "Hey, do you got a children's ministry that'll work for me? Hey, where's your programs that will bless me? What product are you selling here? What kind of worship do you do?" Now, I believe that churches should meet the needs of people. There's no doubt. And we should have ministries for everybody. But you know what? In the scripture, the Bible says you go to church to get involved and chip in and serve and get involved in the sacrificial living for Jesus Christ and reaching this world with his message. There are many churches, I believe, that just try to draw in people from the world rather than minister to God's people. I've heard it said that many churches are so busy entertaining the goats, they won't feed the sheep. And then you need to understand, there are liberal churches all across this land who no longer believe in the inspiration of Scripture or the inerrancy of Scripture. There are liberal churches that are refusing to preach the blood of Jesus Christ because that's messy and we don't want to offend anybody. The emergent church teaches truth into a turns truth into a question that can't be answered. Just have a big long discussion about it. There are churches that teach us health, wealth, and prosperity movement. These churches turn Jesus into a savior who exists only to make sure you get to wear designer jeans. It's pathetic. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. I don't like to pick on other churches. I really don't. And I don't like to give anybody an impression that I think our church, hey, check us out. We've got the corner on the truth. Hey. These other losers, stay away. I don't even want to give you that kind of an impression. I believe there are still many great churches in America. And I believe there are many wonderful churches right here in El Paso. And I'm proud to stand with them hand in hand and reach this community for Jesus Christ. But you need to know something. Many churches have lost their way. And you need to understand this. The Bible teaches that as time goes on, it'll get worse. The biblical church will become less and less. What about the United States of America? What about our nation? I believe it was a Christian nation, don't you? I don't care what these historians say and they try to. It was a Christian nation. We were born on Christian ideals. People used to come to our country to study the success. And then many of them would go home saying, you know where the success of America is? In their churches. In their pulpits. In the primers that kids taught in school. Look what we've done. Or look what we've allowed to happen in our country. Taking God out of the schools. Taking the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. Can you believe that? Can't have the Ten Commandments in a courtroom. You know, the commandments that say thou shalt not kill don't belong there. Give me a break. People ask me all the time, "Terry, do you see the United States of America in the last day scenario?" I don't. I don't see where we show up. In my opinion, I think America eventually just becomes a non-issue. I hope not. I still think there are many Christians in this country, amen? So are we living in the last days? I think we are. I think the Lord will come back in my lifetime, or if not, the lifetime of my kids. And I say that based on what I observe and what I see from the signs that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 24. We'll see the other signs later. So I think we need to be ready. By the way, deception will get so worse. It'll continue to get worse and worse, more frequent, more intense, that eventually the worst of all imposters will come on the scene. A world leader referred to in the scripture as the Antichrist. That is happening. That will come. You've seen the Hollywood movies. I don't think his name will be Damien. But you need to understand the scripture clearly teaches that in the last days, Satan's man will come on the scene and will deceive the world. The Bible teaches that he will be the political leader, the economic leader, and the spiritual leader of the entire world. And many will be deceived. As I look around at the world and everything that's happening, I can see, man, that the world is hungry for a leader. What do we take home? What do we gain from this? Well, it's very important. The deception is coming. Don't be deceived. Amen? Very important that you know the truth. That you know the real Jesus of the Bible. That you know the scripture. And then it's very important that you will know how to share the real Jesus. And you know, as I was reading this and thinking about this, the whole concept of prayer kept coming to me. Just the importance of prayer. Many of you have people in your family, you have friends, and they're deceived. And they don't even know they're deceived. And it's frustrating. You keep talking to them, and it's like, you can't get through. There's this deception upon them. You know what you need to do? Pray. Like you've never prayed before. Jesus said, pray that the strong man would be bound. Pray that your friends, your family would be released from the strong man. That the blinders would come on. And of course, I get a sense of urgency. Now's not the time to wait. Now's the time to get busy. Amen? Perhaps you're here this morning and you have yet to place your faith in the real Jesus. You need to place your faith in the real Jesus this morning. Don't wait. You know, Jesus did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. He is the only way. And why is he the only way? Because he's the only one who died on the cross for your sins. You remember Jesus asked for another way in the garden? He said, Father, if it possible, take this cup from me. God didn't take that cup from him. The Father didn't. He had to go through it. He had to go to the cross. And because there was only one way for us to be saved and he did it, my friends, Jesus is the only way. Amen. Muhammad didn't die on the cross for your sins. Joseph Smith didn't die on the cross for your sins. moon didn't die on the cross for your sins. Don't be deceived. Be enlightened. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the one who died on the cross for your sin, you receive him through a prayer. You simply come to him and you ask him to be your Savior. I would be delighted to lead you in a prayer right now. Get saved right now. Simply in your heart, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for your sacrifice that you made. Come into my heart now and wash my sins away. Make me born again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to follow you. If you pray that prayer, you have become a born again Christian. You're a child of God. You're safe. You're safe. You're in his family. Let's stand together as a body.